the book of Joel. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Who was Joel? Joel, the son of Pethuel, prophesied to the southern kingdom of Judah in the 9th century BC, while Hosea was prophesying to the northern kingdom of Israel. Joel was prophesying to the southern kingdom. As a young man, Joel would have been exposed to the ministries of Elijah and Elisha. Joel is one of the earliest of the written prophets. Joel means Jehovah is my God. The prophet Joel focuses on the holiness of God, and he focuses on the judgments of God. The books of 1 and 2 Kings provide the historic background for the ministry of Joel. While Joel refers to priests, there's no reference to a king. And between 841 and 835 BC, Queen Athalia ruled Judah. Athalia had been the queen mother, and when her son died, she seized the throne and murdered all of her grandsons, except for Joash. Joash was hidden in the temple by the high priest to preserve the line of King David. Athalia was the daughter of the notorious Jezebel, the enemy of the prophet Elijah. Queen Jezebel had wrought havoc in the northern kingdom of Israel. After Joel's prophecy called for national repentance, and after he had delivered this prophecy, the people gained the courage to depose the wicked Queen Athalia and place the 7-year-old Joash on the throne as king. The prophecy of Joel begins with a natural disaster. A plague of locusts had devastated the country. Swarms of locusts of up to 600 million insects have been recorded in a single swarm, eating up to 80,000 tons of food a day, traveling at a speed of 16 kilometers a day, and laying 5,000 eggs per square foot. In North Africa, where such swarms are common, they can blot out the sun and make midday seem like midnight to those afflicted by this plague. Locusts can not only strip trees of their leaves, but they can strip the trees of their bark as well. And so in Joel 1 verse 4 we read, "What the chewing locusts left, the swarming locusts have eaten. What the swarming locusts left, the crawling locust has eaten. What the crawling locust left, the consuming locust has eaten." In Exodus 10, the eighth plague, the plague of locusts, was sent by God on Egypt to compel them to let my people go. In Deuteronomy 28, the Lord warned that one of the curses of disobedience would be plagues of locusts. When the Lord was questioned about the man-made disaster of Pontius Pilate sending in his troops to kill zealots in the temple, Jesus responded, "Do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners? I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." That's in Luke 13 verse 2. The Lord then referred to the fallen tower in Siloam in which 18 people had died, and he said, "Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." So the Lord Jesus used both man-made disasters and natural disasters as opportunities to call people to repentance. Every earthquake, every hurricane, every drought, and every flood should be a reminder to us of the frailty of life and of our need to be right with God. It was in the context of natural and man-made disasters that our Lord declared to Solomon in 2 Chronicles 7:13 to 14, those powerful words, "When I shut up heaven and there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people, if my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land." That is the context for this message of repentance, natural disasters. The nation of Judah faced drought, bushfires, and starvation. The economy came to a standstill. Joel's prophecy was given at the time of harvest, the Feast of Tabernacles, at the very time when they should have been celebrating the harvest of their crops. They were mourning the devastation of the plague of locusts. Awake, you drunkards, and weep, and wail, you drinkers of wine, because of the new wine that has been cut off from your mouth. Joel 1 verse 5. The field is wasted, the land mourns, for the grain is ruined, and the new wine is dried up. The oil fails. That's in Joel 1 verse 10. The prophet Joel describes present desolation and future danger for Judah. Joel calls the nation of Judah to repentance. Consecrate a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord your God and cry out to the Lord. We read in Joel 1:13. The prophet Joel makes clear that salvation is not automatic, as if a nation as a whole can be saved just by being Hebrew. God calls people to be saved through faithful messengers, and people, in turn, must call on God, turn to God, and turn away from sin. Blow the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. For it is at hand, Joel 2, verse 1. But the people failed to repent after the plague of locusts, and so, in chapter 2 of Joel, the prophet warns of another plague, of a huge invading force that will march into the land and destroy everything. In arresting, vivid, descriptive, and picturesque words, Joel describes calamity and catastrophe which will bring devastation and desolation to the land. In the past, the people of Israel had been invaded by Phoenicians, Philistines, Edomites, Sidonians, and Egyptians. Now, the prophet Joel warns of an ominous future threat as he describes the Babylonian army that would wage scorched earth, not only killing people and livestock, but even destroying the vegetation. Joel 2 verse 3 reads, "A fire devours before them, and behind them a flame burns. The land is like the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Surely nothing shall escape them." Joel chapter 2 parallels Revelation chapter 9, where a plague of locusts is described, followed by an army from east of millions. After describing the terrifying destruction that will come from these invaders from the east, Joel reveals, "The Lord gives voice before his army, for his camp is very great. For strong is the one who executes his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can endure it?" Joel 2:11. These foreign invaders who would destroy Judah, Jerusalem, and the temple itself were commanded by God himself. The promises to God's people have always been conditional. The promises to Israel were always conditional. The promises of God are forfeited by those who abandon God. There is no future for those who have no use for God. Joel mentions the day of the Lord 5 times, and other prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Amos, Zephaniah, and Malachi, also mention the day of the Lord 19 times. The day of the Lord is also mentioned in the New Testament in 1 Corinthians 5:5, 2 Corinthians 1:14, and 1 Thessalonians 5:2, and 2 Peter 3:10. Man has his day. The devil has his day. But the time is coming when God will have his day. The day of the Lord is coming, when God will have his final say, and he will bring the whole world under his rule. God will judge everyone. But he will first deal with his people. The Lord will bring punishment on his backslidden people who have violated his covenant. When the disciples asked Jesus, "When will the kingdom be restored?" he told them to go and preach the gospel to all nations. We have a choice. Do you want God's discipline now, or do you want God's judgment later? God's discipline which leads to salvation now, or God's judgment which leads to condemnation later? The question is not, will you bow to God? The question is, when will you bow? You can bow to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior now. Or you will be compelled to bow before him as the eternal judge later on the day of judgment. Is Jesus your Savior? Or is he your judge? Joel chapter 2 verse 12 to 13 reads, "Now therefore says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. So rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and he relents from doing harm." The Bible emphasizes three aspects of repentance: conviction, contrition, conversion. Conviction, a change of mind. Contrition, a change of heart. And conversion, a change of life, a change of behavior, a change of character, change of action. Conviction deals with the mind. Contrition deals with the heart. Conversion deals with the life. It is not enough to confess our sins verbally. We also need to reject that sin mentally, to loathe it, to forsake it from our heart. Repentance involves a change of mind. Repentance involves a change of heart. Repentance involves a change of habits. And repentance involves a change of behavior. This was the message of the Apostle Peter on the day of Pentecost. Acts 2 verse 35-8. "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." This was the message of the early church. Acts 3:19. "Repent therefore and be converted, so that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." Acts 17 verse 30. "God now commands all men everywhere to repent." The prophet Joel calls for true repentance. Rend your hearts and not your garments. It is not what we do with our clothes. When it comes to repentance, it is our heart and our mind that matters. We are in a dynamic relationship with God. Almighty God tells us how to pray. We must plead for mercy, with fasting, with weeping, with mourning, seeking God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, seeking God with all of our mind and with all of our strength. The heart of the gospel is change. Changed hearts, changed minds, changed lives. The prophet Joel reveals that the day of the Lord will bring destruction on the unready and the unrepentant, but it will pour out blessings on the repentant people of God. Revival follows repentance, and repentance leads to restoration. The Lord promises to restore the years that the locusts have eaten. All of us mourn lost opportunities, wasted time, ruined relationships, and wasted years. If only we so often regret our poor decisions and our squandered opportunities. Here the Lord promises restoration of the years that the locusts have eaten. In his supernatural way, the Lord is able to do a lot with a little. He who could feed thousands with just 5 loaves and 2 fish is able to not only add to our lives, but multiplies blessings upon it. Joel promises a final restoration, not only a physical restoration of the crops that the locusts have eaten, but a spiritual restoration of the nation, of communities, of families, of individuals. Chapter 3 of Joel has a vision of the Kidron Valley on the eastern side of Jerusalem, which is called the Valley of Decision. God issues a challenge to the nations to prepare for war, to assemble, and to see how far they can dare to advance in a war against Almighty God. For the day of the Lord is coming, when he will intervene and judge the nations. God will have the final word. It is his decision that will determine our destinies. It is his decision, his verdict, that will decide our eternal destiny. Where will you spend eternity? It is futile to attempt to fight against God? The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Eternal Judge, is more than a conqueror. The Lord will roar. His voice will shake the earth. The Lord will be a shelter for his people and the strength of his children. So you shall know that I am the Lord your God, we read in Joel 3:17. The question is not, do you accept Jesus? The question is, does Jesus accept you? The question is not, will you open the door of your heart to Jesus? But will he open his door to you? He is God. You are not. This is not all about you. It is all about God. You need to ask. You need to seek. You need to knock on his door and seek entrance to his kingdom. He who asks will receive. He who seeks will find. He who knocks will find the door open to him. Jesus promises to pour out his Holy Spirit on his people. Joel 2, verse 28 to 29, we read, "And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my Spirit in those days." Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? It is this very passage of Joel 2, 28 to 32 that the Apostle Peter quotes from in a sermon on the day of Pentecost. This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. "And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." The Apostle Peter proclaimed, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And 3,000 people called on the name of the Lord on that Pentecost Sunday in Jerusalem and were added to the church that day. "And it will come to pass in that day that the mountain shall drip with new wine, the hills shall flow with milk, and all the brooks of Judah shall be flooded with water. A fountain shall flow from the house of the Lord from generation to generation." Joel 3, 18 to 20 concludes with this wonderful vision of Jesus Christ himself, the living waters that flows into the wilderness, that brings life where there is death, brings forgiveness of sins and freedom from bondage for his people from generation to generation and forever. A river will not rise higher than its source. Jesus is the living water. Jesus is the temple. Jesus will bless the nations. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you that you are the way, the truth, and the life. You are the living waters. You are the rock from which the waters flowed in the wilderness. We praise you, Lord God, that you are our temple, that you bless the nations. We thank and praise you, Lord God, for the prophet Joel. We praise you, Lord God, that your word never returns void. We thank you that the gospel is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. We praise you, Lord God, for the privilege we have of being your sons and daughters, your servants and your soldiers. We thank and praise you, Lord God, for the wonderful privilege we have of being adopted into your family. You have rescued us out of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of your own dear Son. We pray, Lord God, deepen our faith, widen our vision, make us faithful to your word and effective in your service. Make us brave and bold for you, for we pray it in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.